Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam on this Monday morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. Russell Wilson continues to do it. 14 touchdowns on the young season, the most through the first 3 weeks of an NFL season.
Pretty good.
You think?
Yep. Pretty good.
Yeah. Setting NFL records. Good thing to have on your resume.
The offense was ripping.
Yeah. Another 315-yard performance. But what's up with the 13 incompletions? Come on, Russ. Let's go.
Oh.
What's going on with you, man? Is Russell Wilson broken? He had 13 incompletions.
I'm sensing your sarcasm.
Yeah.
Pretty thick. Lay it on thick.
But he went for 5 touchdowns in the win. He only needed 3 to set the or to tie the record. He added 2 extra to get a little cushion on that 14 touchdowns. He's on fire now.
He is on fire. Hey, Buck, what was the score some guy predicted on Friday? Anybody know anybody? What was the score?
Yeah, you said 38-31.
Oh! Good thing I'm not a gambling man. Maybe I should start gambling. No, it's a good thing I don't gamble, because every time I try to predict something, I'm always wrong. So that's why I don't gamble. But when you do get it right and you're not a gambler, boy, do you stand up and chant it from the rooftops.
Okay. Well, you hit it right on the head.
Right on the head. I remember that 2-point conversion when Hill, that scumbag, hits Russell Wilson, gives them an extra opportunity. I went, oh, I'm going to get this right on.
Well, what is coming to light out of this start for the Seahawks is, one thing is for certain, Russell Wilson no longer complaining about not having any weapons on the offense.
No.
It appears that Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are 1A, 1B wide receivers in the league. And it's one part Russell Wilson, but those two guys, they are different this year. And they are difference makers for the Seahawks.
You know, Tyler Lockett does something very well. He gets open. He's excellent in space. But he's also a wide receiver that can get behind you. And that's a little disturbing, too, when you're looking at it from the defensive perspective. Because the first touchdown, I mean, you heard it during the broadcast. And, you know, this was the first time, can I just say, not to tangent this off very quickly, this is the first time I've listened to Troy Aikman, and I was overly agitated with him and his obsessiveness with the mistakes. And I get it. You're a former guy. So it's been a while since I've listened to it, and I still think he's great. And I still think Joe Buck are great. They're elite. But this is one of the first times. But he harped on that play, that first touchdown of getting beat with the safety. They had to replay like 7 times. Like, we get it. Tyler Lockett can get behind guys because he's shifty and quick. DK Metcalf is just that much faster and bigger than everybody else out there on the edge. And there's not a cornerback that can stop him right now. Not one. Because the defensive player of the year, I said it earlier in the show, Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots, couldn't stop him. There's nobody that can stop him.
With the Aikman, I understand the Aikman the Aikman hate. And
no, it's not hate. It was the first
frustration
time,
or whatever.
It was really the first time I could sense it.
But that game was weird. And I mean, there were mistakes all on both sides.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it had to be addressed. And I mean, there were some pretty egregious errors and just like pretty basic stuff with the Dallas Cowboys secondary, especially where you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I understand it. Because that game was, boy, that thing went off the rails a few times. And, you know, but the fact of the matter and what you're saying, though, is that DK Metcalf, it's not just yesterday, or Tyler Lockett, it's not just yesterday that those guys have been doing this. It's through the first 3 weeks. It's been consistency. And that's what everybody's been wanting to see is, like, Russell Wilson has always had a guy who can go off in any particular game, but you're seeing consistency over the first 3 weeks of the year from both of those guys.
And if you heard Troy during the game, he really harped on the fact that Russell Wilson was off. Like, oh, he's a tick off. Look at these balls are in the ground. This isn't the typical Russell Wilson. Well, good God, he was getting pass rushed in his offensive line, and he's stepping around and trying to make all these other throws. He was really trying to emphasize the fact that Russell Wilson was struggling. But when it came down to the biggest throws in the game, the fourth down conversion to Greg Olsen. That throw, Greg Olsen comes open, bang, it's a low left ball. It was a great catch, another conversion. You get another chance to throw a ball when you think you're setting up for a field goal and everyone else, and then there goes DK Metcalf over the top. Some of the throws, the deep ball, which was the gong show play by DK Metcalf, was spectacular. The ball dropped in like a feather yet again. So you could say some of the short throws are off. That's not built into their offense. The deep throws, the throws that matter, and those guys are catching them. Tyler Lockett is sneaky, sneaky good.
Well, and this is maybe it should be seen as a compliment of Russell Wilson, though. He has set the bar insanely high for himself.
Right? In what way?
Way that his level of play this year has been so dang good that
never got an MVP vote.
Well, I know that's not this year. He has been playing so well this year where it's like he had 12 incompletions and 10 touchdowns at one point this
82%
year.
82% completion rate.
This dude is insane. Yeah. And so compared to what he'd done the first 2 weeks, I mean, you could look at it as a compliment that, look, man, if that was Russell Wilson being off, then in compared to what he'd done the first 2 weeks, it kind of was.
Well, you can't sustain.
That is ridiculously good.
I know. That's the other thing. Yeah. Nobody can sustain
level
of 82 to 83% completion rate. That's insanity to think you could do that in the NFL. So, yes, 100%. But for Troy to kind of nitpicky on a couple little throws, those were the comments. Like, really? That's what we're trying to pick through now? They're trying to poke holes in the fact that the guys can make it's not even close. He's the best deep ball thrower. There's nobody who can throw a ball like him down the field right now. Now, I get Patrick Mahomes. He's great. He is unbelievable. But it doesn't throw it like Russell Wilson down the field.
How much credit are we giving Brian Schottenheimer for what's going on right now?
Because
I've been long on Shoddy. Last year, Brian Schottenheimer, his offense was that he was playing to Pete Carroll. And we said, is he going to open it up? The dude can coach some football, and he's done a great job of getting the most out of his guys. Mm-hmm. And that's DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Russ.
Yeah, you have time to kind of gel. But also, I think it's good for what Pete Carroll's been able to do. He, along with the rest of the defensive staff, and looking at the defensive staff, it's come to fruition that their defense isn't very good.
No.
It's quite clear that in front of them, that you're looking at that going, we're going to need to have to score a lot of points. And so great on them not having to stick to that run mentality and let our defense keep us in the game, because your defense is not going to keep you in the game. It's going to keep you from winning a game occasionally this year, because Seahawks are going to lose. I mean, they're not going to go undefeated. But that's your head football coach, who's certainly on defense. You know he's going home tonight going, God dang it, offense is going to make us win this year? All right, fine. Good coaching.
Statistically, they are the worst defense in the NFL.
Oh, my God. They give up
497 yards per game through 3 weeks.
Can't do
They've
that.
Given up 1,300 yards passing in three games. Yeah. I mean, they
look like a Big 12 defense.
They have
right
the
now.
Worst pass defense in the league, and it's not even close. Think of how bad Atlanta has been. The Seahawks have 300 more yards allowed passing than the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, they're almost 100 yards per game worse than the next closest team in pass defense.
They're going to have to adjust. They're going to have to make some adjustments because injuries aren't helping them, and their pass rush was a little better. It was a little better.
Well, they got they got to the quarterback with three men twice. Better.
Yeah, that was bad. That left guard, whoever that rookie left guard was, what a horrible set by him, not helping to his left.
Is this sustainable, though? I mean, in all honesty, we sit there and we've seen some bad defenses that have been propped up by a good quarterback. Yeah. But is it sustainable to make a championship run for the Seattle Seahawks? Because it's not just a bad defense. It's the worst one in the league right now.
I think the defense can get better. I do. I think the defense can get better if you get guys a little bit more healthy. But with the beginning of the season, we're seeing funny video game numbers across the board on all defenses. I mean, the top defense, don't read into the fact that when Carolina beats the L.A. Chargers that you're going, wow, what a great defensive stand. No, you got a rookie quarterback who couldn't put it together. And that's just part of how certain quarterbacks can handle it right now. The elite quarterbacks are going to put up numbers on even the best defenses. You have a Bill Belichick coach team. Yes, they didn't have some of their top guys, but it's still the best coach in the league. And he put up funny numbers against them. So, yeah, I think that we're going to see it. Everybody that's going to make it to the top this year, it's going to have a little different look this year. Last year was a lot of teams that ran the football that made it into the playoffs, and we know cold weather makes a difference. It's going to take some defense at the end of the season.
Yeah, right now Seahawks 32nd in the NFL in yards per game, passing yards allowed, total offense, 22nd in scoring defense. So, I mean, they have been carried in every sense by their offense so far through the first.
And they faced some good quarterbacks to start. Let's not say that Matt Ryan's not a good quarterback. Cam Newton obviously is a very good quarterback. And Dak Prescott, as much as you want to say, he's a solid, good thrower. He hasn't faced rookie. Now we get to see what it's like when the Seahawks play a average quarterback.
But still, even a great quarterback's 430 yards a game is way too much, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're still winning.
You're still winning, finding ways to win.
Yeah.
All right, coming up this hour, Letter Rip with your Case of the Mondays at 503-250-1080. We're going to talk a little SEC football this hour as well because the Pac-12 had a great day. And the mishaps, miscues, and blunders of the weekend in football. Wide Right is next on The Fan.
One play does not a game make.
Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Who says you can't lose on a single play?
Yellow! Oh, Leon Lett! Leon Lett! Oh, my goodness gracious!
This is Wide Right, a look back at the plays that made the weekend, memorable.
Ernest Biner. Fumble
the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
Wide Right with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
No good. Wide Right.
The Fan.
All right, let's get this
The Fan text code.
Uh-oh. Let's get this thing going. We got to have Wide Right right at the beginning.
Hey-o.
The SEC started with a top 25 matchup between Auburn and Kentucky. Buck, do you have that one even up there? Oh. Okay, there it is. I think you may have saved it under the wrong name.
Yeah, I might have.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you have that, so let's go to our next game. This is off to a rousing start here. In college football, Georgia Southern had one heck of a game on ESPN. Let's hand it over to Beth Moens as Georgia Southern looking to knock off a top 25 team in the Ragin' Cajuns. But you got to hold on to the football. The dumbest rule in sports coming back to doom them.
On second down, Wirtz. Back to throw. He's got his tight end, Bo Johnson, with a blocker in front of him. Inside the 20, racing down the sideline, lunges for the end zone, and the ball popped out. The signal here is touchdown, Georgia Southern.
He lost control of the ball before he got to the end zone.
Oh my goodness, he fumbled out of the back of the end zone. That would have tied the game. As it is, Georgia Southern still had an opportunity to win at the end. They convert a two-point conversion, but a game-winning field goal handed Louisiana a 20-18 win. But that fumble out of the back of the end zone would have given Georgia Southern an upset win over a top 25 team. I hate that rule. Dumbest rule in football is fumble out of the back of the end zone. It's a touchback for the other team.
All right.
Well, it is. Why does the other team get the ball there?
Ask DK Metcalf that question.
Jeez Louise.
If you don't like that, just wait.
Auburn and Kentucky, a top 25 matchup to start the football season for the SEC and on the SEC network. And Auburn was struggling early in the first half, but it looked like they got a spark on the defensive side of the ball.
11th play of the drive. Wilson looking to throw into the end zone. It is intercepted by Auburn. Kentucky gets no points. McCreary's got the sideline. And what a turn of events. Terry Wilson can't bring him down. 100-yard interception return for a touchdown for Roger McCreary.
During the return, number 29 for Auburn committed a targeting foul. It'll be a 15-yard penalty from that spot. It'll be first down Auburn.
Touchdown taken off the board. It's a one-point game again. What a swing.
How about that former Duck, Terry Wilson, with the pick six 100 yards the other direction, but a crackback block targeting on a tight end that had no chance of catching
just
in there.
Buffoonery, man. What are you? It's like these defensive guys. I mean, everybody just don't. Not even near the play.
But luckily for Auburn, plug ears, Duck fans, Bo Nix with two touchdowns in the fourth quarter surged the Auburn Tigers to a 29-13 win.
Ouch.
Rivalry games usually get the best shot from both teams. We know this, right? Well, Florida State might be broken. Their coach was at home because he tested positive for COVID, and the Seminoles just could never get it going.
Big fella number one. Watch him in the middle of their defense. For a defensive lineman, the awareness right there. He, instead of chasing, he sees the quarterback, Travis, coming his way and aborts where he was headed and makes the play right there. And that's just obviously a mistake by Jordan Travis, just throwing the ball up there. And how about the athletic ability by Jalen Phillips at 6'5", 265 pounds, to go airborne and come up with a...
An interception by a big fella. It was, again, James Blackman. He threw an interception. Tate Rodemaker threw an interception. Jordan Travis threw an interception. Three picks for Florida State. They got housed 52-10 by Miami. Is the U back?
Or is it more about Florida State? There's a couple programs that I don't ever get upset about and go, "Bad, that's too bad." Florida State is definitely one of them. For some reason, I'm like, good for you, Florida State. Good for you. Would I rather see Miami be better? Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
To the NFL. Oh, DK. DK, DK, DK.
What's that? Second down and 11. Wilson gets protection, airs it out. Metcalf is there. And it's knocked out of the back of the end zone. Was he in? Play was made by the rookie Diggs. As the officials get together. And it's a touchback. Unbelievable if it stands.
Trayvon Diggs, that was the call on Fox, punches it out. Heads up play by him, but what was DK Metcalf doing?
I don't know, man. He was brain farting, so I ask you this question. Still don't like the rule?
Yes, still don't like the
rule. So what should
I think it's a ridiculous rule.
So where should the Seahawks get the football?
All right,
should they keep possession?
Well, anytime you fumble a ball, right, on the field, and it goes out of bounds, don't you get it at the spot of the fumble? That is the rule. Any other place on the field,
right?
You get wherever you fumble the ball.
So in this scenario, you're okay with giving the ball back to the Seahawks, like on the 1 yard line?
On the 1 yard line, yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. Okay. Because, I mean, they got that far, and he fumbled, and if you can't advance the fumble forward, then why is it a touchback?
I would be in favor of, I mean, I think it's a really, you have to know that you can't make that play, and I think punishing it to a degree would be okay. I'd be fine with it being going back to the 20 and the offense retains possession.
Sure.
So it's a touchback for the offense.
So moving everything back. So if you're diving for the end zone and you're reaching out in your hand and the ball gets knocked out as you do that, go back to the 20-yard line.
Instead of giving it to your
opponent.
Instead
of giving it to the opponent.
Yeah. So if it's like third and goal and you do that, it's third and goal from the 20?
Yeah, sorry. Wow. You shouldn't have done that, but at least you still have the ball.
Mm. That could have been the difference in the game, but the defense came up for a stop when they needed it the most.
Prescott is able to stay up to the end zone. It is picked
Seahawks take over.
How cool is that? Ryan Neal in his first NFL game gets the interception right there. But then Alton Robinson, the play before, he got a sack in his first NFL game ever. Two guys who never played a lick come up with huge plays for the Seahawks when they need them.
It was great, incredible cat-like balance by Dak Prescott. He could stay off the ground and make that throw and give it a shot. But yeah, the Seahawks got a sack and got sacks or pressure when they needed it.
Three-man rush.
Just a huge, I don't know who the left guard was. I don't have it off the top of my head, but bonehead play by the left guard.
Falcons had a 16-point lead entering the fourth quarter against the Bears. We know better than to trust that.
Second down and four as Ryan fires, intended for Ridley, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Tashaun Gibson.
Matt Ryan's interception on Fox, clinching the 30-26 win for the Bears. Bears 3-0, Atlanta outscored 20-0 in the fourth quarter.
You know what's crazy about statistically for the Atlanta Falcons? The last two games, they've had a 98% win percentage analytically heading into the fourth quarter.
God.
98%.
That's brutal. That is brutal. The Jets are a terrible football team, but usually Sam Darnold is okay. Not yesterday.
Darnold is 13-22. Good block by the right tackle. Intercepted on the play. T.J. Carey. He's got blockers. And he's got a touchdown. The second pick six thrown by Jets quarterback Sam Darnold.
That was the call on CBS. Darnold threw three interceptions. Two were taken back for touchdowns, including that one. He was also sacked for a safety.
At least he's trying.
Oh, my gosh.
At least he's trying.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he could be just taking sacks and fumbling the ball, but at least he's trying to throw the ball down the field. Just happened to be the wrong guy.
At least he's got that going for him, which is nice.
Yeah, he's not quitting.
All right, Justin Herbert is 0-2 now as an NFL starter, but man, was it close to being 1-1. Hook and ladder time!
Back there in the pocket.
Got hit as he threw the ball, and the lateral didn't work, and the ball is incomplete.
Boy, was this a good-looking play. They had it. Wow, this would have been a walk-in if they could have made the pitch from Keenan Allen
to Austin Eckler.
So he hits Keenan Allen, and Allen, with his hook and ladder toss to Eckler a little bit behind him, the entire defense is going the other way. Am I crazy? He would have walked in.
I mean, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I don't like the fact that you need a gimmick play to win the game, but that's why gimmicks don't work very often in those situations. They had plenty of opportunities to win that football game. They're a better roster, and I would have picked LA all day long over that, not having Christian McCaffrey. Just that's unfortunate.
Herbert goes 35 of 49, 330 yards, a touchdown, and an interception in the loss.
And a fumble, right? Yeah.
The Chargers, had two fumbles, lost one of them, though. Yeah. But they turned the ball over way too many times if you win in a football game. All right, let's get to it. Hugh Jackson is not a fan of ties. We know that from his time as the coach of the Cleveland Browns. Neither is Merrill Reese, the play-by-play announcer for the Eagles radio network. Take a listen to how this ended for the Philadelphia Eagles in overtime against Cincinnati.
There it is. And now penalty flags fly. Oh, don't tell me the Eagles are going to...
I think there was movement by the Eagles.
Ball start.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, on a field goal to win it. A five-yard penalty. 19 seconds to go. And now you're asking Jake... Nope, they're going to bring the offense back.
Yeah,
they have to.
They're going
to
punt the football.
They're going to punt the football and settle for the tie. That's inexplicable how they can't line up for a field goal with the game on the line. Inexplicable. They can't line up for a field goal, ladies and gentlemen, with the game on the line. All they have to do is snap the ball to the holder.
You can hear the frustration. Mm-hmm. It's brewing over for the Eagles fan base and apparently their play-by-play announcers. They settle for...
It's dreadful.
a punt.
First of all, you should never jump off sides on the offense on a field goal attempt. That's buffoonery. And your kicker was now going from a 59 to a 64-yard attempt. Mm-hmm. Still, you have to try. But you're trying. You're actually playing not to lose instead of playing to win. Come on. Doug Peterson?
Do you go for the 64-yard field goal, or do you go for the fourth down and 12 with your offense on the field to try to get one more play closer so you can pick up a first down and then bring the kicker out?
I don't know the kicker's situation and what it was, but if you didn't have any confidence in his leg, then you go to the fourth and 12. You never punt that ball. Yeah. That's embarrassing.
I mean,
you should never, ever play for a tie.
You felt good enough with him at 59.
Yeah.
Right?
Five more yards.
But five more yards was just a non-starter for him there.
Yeah.
A tie. 23-23. Joe Burrow gets his first non-loss as an NFL quarterback.
Wow.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Better than nothing.
That, folks, is Wide Right. The mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend in football. Coming up next, the Pac-12 had a great showing in week one of the SEC. I said it. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. The SEC got underway this past weekend, and boy, it was a good weekend for the Pac-12 in the SEC. Mississippi State, led by Mike Leach as the head coach, and former Stanford quarterback KJ Costello, putting up big wins.
Great. So now the Pac-12 is equivalent to every former Mariner that goes to Tampa Bay to be really good. You have to leave the conference to be significant.
Well,
that's where we're going to hang our hat on now.
No. But
so
maybe it'll get a
Pac-12.
Little. Maybe it'll get a little credit to the football playing out west, huh? Yeah.
All I'll give credit to where credit is due. Florida's winning the national title this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they beat Ole Miss?
No. Because they're good. That's my dark horse
good.
Pick.
They're good.
That's my dark horse pick for who could make a championship run. On a serious take, I mean, everybody, you pick Alabama, pick Ohio State, pick Clemson. Those are the easy picks. The quiet team that's going to make the biggest noise in the SEC is going to be Florida.
The fifth-ranked team in the country?
Well, they haven't been there in a long time. This is fair to say. Florida's been, it's been up and down, up and down, up and down. But damn, Mullen has put together a great roster.
He's a great coach.
And they're very, very good now. It's been quite a while since Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer left. But it's been dominated by Georgia and the conversation of Georgia and the conversation of Alabama and Texas A&M was going to be Jimbo Fisher was going to change and everything else. And, of course, now LSU wins a national title with Ed Orgeron, but I think it's Florida's turn.
Well, and think of this one, too. Like, speaking of the Pac-12 on the come up, Georgia beat Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they struggled at the quarterback position, and the big conversation out of Georgia fans is, we need JT Daniels to be healthy. The guy who lost the starting job at USC because JT Daniels didn't play with a knee injury, and they're like, we need JT Daniels.
Yeah.
Another big come up for the Pac-12 there.
You just got to leave the Pac-12 to go be good at anything.
Hey, let's positive spin this. Let's positive spin it back.
That is a positive spin for those players.
If you positive spin it back, look, the Pac-12 gets S'd on all the time. They've got talent out here. They got talented coaches. They got talented quarterbacks, at least. Where they always lose it is on the line of scrimmage when they go and they play the SEC teams.
Yeah, you don't have any big dudes. I mean, you have some big dudes, but you don't have enough guys up front.
Well, that's why Oregon is the only ranked team in the top 25. Yes. They're the team that has the dudes up front.
Yep, as they should be. I'm exhausted of hearing Keyshawn Johnson in the morning talk about USC, and if USC ain't winning crap.
Nope.
Okay, no. Sick of that. All right, Key, I know you're biased. You're packed to your one pay. But let's be realistic here. Oregon is physically better than USC.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of the crybaby stuff. You ain't winning anything with USC.
Well, Mike Leach was in rare Mike Leach form after the game as well. And SEC country better get ready for this.
Well, what a welcome back to the SEC for you, Coach. It's a great day for you, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, it's better than average, I'll tell you that. This stadium, there's a lot of ghosts in this stadium, and we played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs had somebody scheduled, so we played these guys, but I'm really proud of our guys. I thought we played real well. I thought we stuck in there during tough times.
You know, Leach is laughing and making jokes, but look at LSU, though. They're replacing 17 starters from their national championship team a year ago, their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator.
Right.
They had a ton of turnover.
The still should not get housed like that, but
no.
This is what the air raid does to you when you first see it, because they haven't seen it. You could go ahead and look at it on film, but Washington State obviously, with Mike Leach, put up silly numbers on people across the country. Their quarterbacks led the country in passing every single year Mike Leach was the head football coach. That's not going to change when he goes to Mississippi. What's going to change for the SEC is that they're not prepared to physically stay on the field like that and see those kind of numbers go up over and over again because he doesn't stop. He doesn't go, well, we're going to try to run the ball this week. That's what SEC coaches do. We're going to try to adjust. LSU had no idea what to do. And first of all, let me throw this one at you, SEC. Guess what you didn't get to do this year? You didn't get to schedule a bunch of warm-up games and patsies to get yourself under control and kind of get your confidence. You went right into conference play. And that's what happens when you go into conference play. You're not prepared for the better teams.
It wasn't just that KJ Costello threw for 623 yards. That is an SEC record.
Staggering.
No matter who it is, who they are playing, and I believe that the two previous records were against Southern Miss and I think like Georgia Southern, I think were the two teams that the previous passing records were set against. This is the only time in conference play anybody's thrown for, I think, over 500 yards, and it was 623. Mm-hmm. I mean, they abuse them, and this is kind of the intrigue about Mike Leach is, what does Mike Leach look like when he has star wide receivers or, you know, high caliber wide receivers?
Oh, they had good they did have good guys
at Washington State.
Yeah, they had good guys.
But how many guys went to the NFL? I think River Craycraft maybe the only guy still kicking around, and he's a backup guy. Like Gabe Marks was a phenomenal college receiver.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. But he wasn't a guy that stuck in the NFL. You look back at his Texas Tech days where he had, you know, Danny Amendola and Wes Welker, right? Those guys were possession receivers. His best year was when he had Michael Crabtree. They were a top five team, and they were damn good at Texas Tech. Yeah. Now he's got guys that have the ability to be those breakout star wide receivers because he has SEC talent. And you talked about Dan Mullen earlier. Dan Mullen, the seniors on this team were recruited by Dan Mullen, right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, he's got talent that is in the senior class.
Shocking.
What is he going to be able to do with
it? Oh, it's going to be shocking. It's going to be more about how they recruit their defense because they never have to worry about offensive numbers for Mike Leach. They're going to score on anybody in the country. Even Alabama, they're going to score. Alabama gives up points. That's not what this is about. It's going to be about how much do they focus on defense. And when the Cougs are really good, they had Alex Grinch, who's now Oklahoman. Oklahoma's going, oh, God, what did we do wrong with that?
Well,
yeah, that's a whole nother story. But if you have that kind of talent on defense and they invest in it a little bit, he's still going to put up crazy numbers. You might stop enough. And that's really what it was about, is you held LSU enough. They couldn't figure it out.
No, I mean, they really couldn't. 44 points. Just, and this is, by the way, a week ago, Mike Leach said our defense looks better than it did at any point last year.
Yeah.
Boy, that has changed.
Yeah.
That seems like that may be one of the overall...
Was he discussing the Mississippi State Bulldogs or the Cougs?
Yeah.
What was he making a point at?
No. Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron saying the defense was better than at any point last year that he had. And I look at that and I go...
623 yards.
Buddy, Dave Aranda left and you have Bo Pelini come back in and Bo Pelini be the defensive coordinator.
Here's what you need to do if you're a quarterback anywhere in the country. If you want to get recognized, if you want to be considered one of the better quarterbacks in the nation, you go play for Mike Leach as a grad transfer. He will get every great grad transfer quarterback from here on out. Now, there'll be a couple guys that stay at Ohio State and go to the... But if you're a good quarterback in this country and your program is not named Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, Mike Leach put it on notice. He got Gardner Minshew a chance to be a starter. Every quarterback that plays for him puts up stupid numbers. KJ Costello is now going to be, he could be a top three round quarterback because of that performance right there.
Boy.
That's what you do.
Well, you got a big win there. And what's up next for Mississippi State? I mean, everybody was saying about the gauntlet that Ole Miss and Mississippi State had to go through. They've Arkansas. Got Arkansas, Kentucky, and then Texas A&M and Alabama in back-to-back weeks.
So on Halloween.
Texter here says Nick Saban will complain about Mike Leach's offense at some point this season. That's 100%. A guarantee.
100%.
Right. Chip Kelly, they're not fair. They're going too fast.
I really don't care what you think.
It's going too fast.
And you know what? Some things that never change is that Mike Leach is still calling plays off a Post-it note.
Yep.
I mean, that is the smallest call sheet of all time.
And great job with his mask, by the way.
Oh, did I?
Not really.
No. Not really. We should not expect Mike Leach to properly wear a mask. Really. No. I mean, we should. We should expect it, but come on, Mike Leach. All right, time to let it rip. Bad beats, bad boss, rough Monday. Case of the Mondays is next. 503-250-1080. Send them our way. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about? Monday,
Monday. No. No, man. So good to no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A case of the Mondays. Monday. Part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
503-250-1080. That be the Fan text line. Would love to hear from you. What's grinding your gears on this Monday morning? Bad beats, bad boss. What do you got? 503-250-1080. Time for the case of the Mondays. We got a great sports week coming up, and I don't think anybody's got a case of the Mondays on that. We've got Monday Night Football tonight. You have got NBA finals starting Wednesday. Major League Baseball playoffs start tomorrow. It's locked and loaded, folks. We've got, like, you, if there's one thing to look forward to brighten up your Monday, we'll look forward to the great sports calendar that we have.
I don't know. There might be somebody out there that might say their case of the Mondays is too much. It's too overwhelming.
It was actually yesterday.
It's just, I can't take it all in. I don't have the kind of screen capability.
That's a good point. Case of the Mondays. Anybody around here around the round table have a case of the Mondays for
us? I already started mine off the day. I'll start it off again and let you know just very quickly. Ties suck. It's dumb. They should be outlawed from all sports. Soccer, hockey, anything, anywhere in the world that is a competitive sport, anywhere, should eliminate ties from the history and the face of the planet. It's embarrassing, terrible for sports, and nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I can't wait to go compete and tie. Nobody ever does that. You win or you lose. That's part of the game. You win or you lose. You play to win, and then losing happens.
And then?
Don't allow ties anymore.
Well, right along with that tie, there's a texter here saying, my case of the Mondays, I am an Eagles fan.
Boy, it's not. It's worse than just tying the Bengals, though. You know, because Carson Wentz has not been good all season, and your offensive line has been just brutalized by injuries.
Yeah.
And we have one here. This is tough. I lost an 8-team parlay with a $400 payout because of the stupid Eagles tie.
So what? Parlay? Is there a cap on parlay? I don't know enough about gambling. Is there a parlay cap?
Basically no ceiling. No, yeah.
So I can have a 16 parlay if I wanted?
Yep, you can pick 16 teams to win, and if they all hit, then you will have some astronomical payout.
And that was like that's the old sports action.
Gotcha.
What Oregon Lottery used to have way back in the day was it was just a parlay for like every game in the NFL. You just pick straight up winner, and you could, for like a $2 ticket, pay out like $500. Like it was, but you have to pick every game right.
Yeah.
Case of the Mondays, I'm a Vikings fan.
All right, guys. It's okay. Let's talk through this.
So if you're an 0-3, fan of an 0-3 team, today's not great.
But, you know, the hard part for Vikings fans is the way that these losses are happening to you, right? I mean, this one was Steven Gostkowski. He hit another game-winning field goal.
After the most dreadful start a kicker could have ever in the history of sport, yet won the game on Monday night. Monday Night Football.
Yeah, he won that game.
And he's bounced back.
Yeah, and he went 6-for-6 yesterday. Yeah. But yesterday, it's like...
Great offense.
In week two, Kirk Cousins plays the worst game of his career, right? And then yesterday, he throws 3 touchdowns, but still throws 2 interceptions. And you know the Vikings made history yesterday? The first team to have a receiver with 175 yards or more and a running back with 180 yards rushing. I saw that on ESPN.
Wow.
And they lost the game.
They lost the game.
And by the way, Kirk Cousins threw for 251. Justin Jefferson had 175 of those yards.
Yeah. By the way, Cam, so for reference, somebody texted and said they had a 15-team parlay yesterday.
Wow.
Well, they didn't make games. They didn't get it, but it could have included, if you are not using the Oregon scoreboard, if it included college over the weekend or something like that. But $1, if they'd made one all 15 bets, would have netted $81,000.
Holy smokes.
That's what it says. $1 to win $81,000.
Why wouldn't I do that every single week and just bet a dollar? I have no risk. bet a dollar on 16 and maybe eventually
you
hit it.
Well, why don't you do it?
I'm not a gambler. I don't do it. But I'm just saying, if you were a gambler, why wouldn't you just do that? Do some research, look at your studies, and eventually your odds might, you might just hit it.
Oh, boy. That would
Is that standard procedure on a 15-16 parlay, those kind of odds?
Well, yeah, to hit every single one of those games. I mean, just think of the NFL challenge and like the Pro Football Challenge, like how hard it is to pick every single week what games are going to hit.
But you never know for a buck. What I mean, what are you risking?
This person said they only got 10 of them correct.
That's pretty good. It's a pretty good percentage.
But you lose your dollar.
You do. You lose a buck.
I mean, what was anybody picking the Lions over the Cardinals yesterday? Lions on the road, you know, Lions, like you have those games every single week. You get Carolina over LA on the road.
Yeah.
Ugh. You know, those, it's just so dang hard to pick in the NFL. Even if you just have straight up winners, pick the straight up winner and see where you go.
Got
to
pay for those shiny lights in Vegas.
That's right.
Get that tax money going here in Oregon.
Guess what? They know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
When they set those lines. 503-250-1080. That be the fan text line. More case of the Mondays coming in. Buck, did you have a case of the Mondays that you had?
I'm getting iced out. Getting iced out of my office.
Oh, the squatting did not
Your
happen.
Squatter's rights? Or
squatter for those who weren't familiar, when COVID started and everybody started working from home except for on-air staff, there was a big, nice riverfront view office that was...
Typically, it's the biggest office here.
Completely vacant.
I mean, it's a big office.
So I took it, and I was allowed to take it. Everyone was fine with it, but now I'm being told I'm going to have to move because it's going to be someone else's office.
No! How long do you have to get out?
Do we know whose office it's going to be?
Yes, I do know whose office. It's going to be someone who already has an office.
But they just want, they just want
my office.
They want a bigger office.
Can you call swapsies?
I thought the rule of dibs would work here just because I mean, saw it first, called it first,
That's
swatted
what Swag's
on it
been
first.
Doing for 20-some years. He just dibs it and sits in there and squats it.
Swag's come up on an office has really been in the last, like, 5 to 6. He's worked here for 20. He slow played that. Buck just stormed right in and was like, I've been here for a year and a half. I'm just going to go ahead and grab an office. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
And
squat your way in there. I appreciate
it. So now I got to find some new digs. But, I mean... For being honest, I have not been told by this person that I need to move. I've just been told by McGinley that I will eventually have to move. So I'm going to let them let me know because so far I haven't heard anything.
You need to take the office space approach. They just keep moving. Just sit there and wait. Yeah, fix the glitch.
What you have to do is you need to, when that person reaches out to you, then you go, let's go swapsies. Is their office in a prime location? Is it in a spot that you would want to be at for the office?
No. Anything from what I have now is going to be a downgrade. Like anything is. Although McGinley did tell me he doesn't care if I set up shop in the conference room. I could take that as my office.
Oh, wow.
But I don't think I want to be in the conference room as my office.
All right. 503-250-1080. Keep letting them rip on the fan text on your cases of the Mondays. We would love to hear from you. Seahawks are the lone perfect team in the NFC West, but it came at a cost. One due to a cheap shot. Dustin Cam on the fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.